Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. Once again, it's Kerry Stevenson, and today we're going to talk potash with Trigg Mining's Managing Director, Karen Pedersen. Karen, welcome back to Small Caps. Lots going on with Trigg Mining and lots for us to talk about. Before we get into it, just for those that may not know, give me a one-minute summation. Who are Trigg Mining?
Trigg Mining is exploring for sulphate of potash in Western Australia. We've got three projects, and one of those is moving through the discovery phase into development, and it's really big and really exciting, and I can't wait to talk more about it.
Really big and really exciting. Let's talk about, you did a recent rights issue, raised some more money. For those of people out there, what's that? Why'd you raise? Where's the money going to go? What's the news flow? What's happening with Trigg at the moment?
Well, we've just announced an inferred resource. So on Lake Throssell, which is our primary project, is some 14.2 million tonnes of sulphate of potash with an exploration target to expand that further. So that's our maiden resource. That's really the announcement of the discovery for Lake Throssell. And the funds that we've just raised.
Sorry to interrupt you there. For those that wouldn't know, is that a large deposit, 14.2 million tonnes? How does that compare to others in this sector? And this is a new sector as well.
It is a new sector. So it is hard for people to have a rule of thumb over what looks big and what doesn't. That sits right amongst our peer group already. And some of those are much more advanced companies around commissioning their new projects. Two of them are commissioning projects at the moment. So, and our resource fits well and truly within their scale and their grade profiles.
And sorry, I did interrupt you before. What's the money going to be used for? You were about to tell us what the money was going to be used for, and once again, I interrupted. What are you going to use the money for?
Well, with that inferred resource, it's given us the confidence to keep going with this. We think it is going to, has the potential to be a project. So the next step is to do some trenching and pump testing, which we've started, and come out with an indicated resource on a portion of that deposit. And then that will then underpin a scoping study. So quite quickly, since like we listed in October 2019, we haven't even been around for 2 years. We've made our second discovery. It's a substantial project, and we're already shifting now into that development phase.
And that development phase, that is a, that's, and I know that the indicator is coming out any moment now. You don't have the numbers yet, but I'm pretty excited that that's coming out. That's going to lead you into a scoping study. Is that correct? Is that so? So what are we talking about from a, tell me as much as you can about a timeline for that.
Yeah, well, so a scoping study is the first step in putting some economics around it and a picture of what it looks like if we were to mine it. And to really, the aim of a scoping study is to justify moving forward to a pre-feasibility study based on robust economic parameters. So we've been doing a lot of the work already because we have always believed in this project. And we've done some evaporation trials. We're just advancing everything on that study phase. And we anticipate that will come together towards the end of this quarter with an announcement on the scoping study.
So going back to the funds raised, is that all going to, are you going to be doing some more drilling? Are you going to look at this 14.2 million tonnes at Lake Throssell? Is that, do you expect that to expand, to become bigger?
Yes, we do expect that to get bigger. There's an exploration target of about 2.6 to 9.4 additional million tonnes just at Lake Throssell. And then we've also got some other projects, but we need to look at the base case, and we already believe that 14.2 million tonnes is a very good starting point. So we're building the case around that. The indicated resource that is coming out will be on this official, so a portion of that deposit, but that's a really productive horizon because when we're looking at sulphate of potash, we're looking at minerals in brine. So it's really, really saline water that we're looking at. And in these salt lake systems, there's a huge volume of water that we can sustainably harvest from this resource. We don't interrupt it. It's a really sustainable mining process. and can put that into evaporation ponds to harvest solar energy to produce a really natural mineral fertilizer. So it's a bit different to metals and most conversations we have in mining around the steps. It is very much about looking at how much water we can sustainably harvest over a long period of time from each horizon.
And that water, just for those of you out there that go, oh, you know, mining water, that sounds awful, bad for the planet. This is not potable water. This is not drinking water. This is saline. This is like so salty it would dry your hand out in a second. So what happens once you extract the minerals? What do you do with it? It just evaporates, does it?
Yeah, most of the process is evaporation. So using the abundance of solar energy, we have 200 kilometres east of Laverton where our project is. So in central Western Australia, so it's really, really sustainable in that we're pumping water from an aquifer that is still being replenished over time. And we're looking at how we can sustainably harvest the water from that. So the amount of water that we can pump out on a yearly basis and put that into evaporation ponds to ultimately produce the sulfate of potash.
Is it a difficult process, or is it simply pump it out, evaporate it, take the mineral? I'm just trying to get my head around whether it's a complex process or, and the reason I'm asking this question is, it's a new industry for Australia. Why haven't we done it before?
Well, to answer the back half of that question first, I think we haven't done it before because we have been very focused on searching for metals, and we consider mining to be very metal-oriented, you know, gold, base metals, iron ore, and that's liberating the metals from rock. As a mining engineer, I've dewatered some of these paleochannel systems to access the gold underneath them without really considering that the minerals dissolved, even though salt, a variety of those salts are in fact mineral fertilizers. So there is sodium chloride in there, and as you say, it's really, really salty. It's at least 10 times saltier than seawater. Wow. But in it, it's electrolytes. So we go to the shop and buy sports drinks that have got salts in them, so potassium salts, magnesium salts, as well as sodium chloride, and they add sugar to make it more palatable. But it really is about we're sourcing electrolytes. Some of those are really, really important for plant growth, crop yields, soil health, and sulfate of potash or potassium sulfate is critically important for many of our food sources globally.
And will you be, so give me a big picture timeline for those people that are out there at the moment looking at this. When do you expect, you probably can't tell me, but give me as much as you can around the development of this project. Are we talking 5 years? Are we talking 2 years? Are we talking 10 years? Just to give people an idea.
Look, with the scoping study, we'll have a much clearer idea. We'll be able to inform the market what that timeline looks like. The things that we're doing to make sure that we're minimising the timeline as much as possible is starting those studies quite early. So to convert an indicator resource now to a scoping study in a couple of months, we've already done a lot of that work to build up that case. And we've already also started the environmental baselines surveys, because that can drag out the approval process for a lot of projects by not doing that early. So we've invested in doing the autumn baseline surveys already. That was done in April. And then we're also looking, so part of that fundraising that we've just done will also support the spring survey. So that will give us a really good baseline set of data to take that forward. And the scoping study will give us a really clear idea. But at the moment we're looking, I think, in that 3 to 5 year range to be able to bring this to market.
So 3 to 5 years to bring it to market. It would be remiss of me not to bring this up. Well, actually, before I do, I want to talk about the share price. But before I do, you said something before about, you know, the fact that you're a mining engineer and you dewatered metal projects before. Any chance, you know, I'm a gold nerd, any chance there might be gold out there, or is this purely, no, Kerry, this is just big salt lakes, we're not going to find it? Could you get distracted and find something else out there?
Well, this is the first drilling that has ever been done at Lake Throssell. We're the first company to have been given permission by the traditional owners to do that. So there is all that possibility out there of other minerals to be discovered. And we're not that far from Gold Road's Gruyere. Exactly. Project. So, you know, we just don't know. But, you know, what we're looking there at with the sulfate of potash project is a multi-decade mine that is sustainably harvesting brine to sustainably produce mineral fertiliser for food. So I think this is far more important for Australia's economic development than another gold
picking
mine.
Up gold.
But if it's there, you know, we are miners and we're looking at creating as much value as we can for shareholders, so we'll be considering everything as it comes up.
Yeah, and go find both. You know, let's have some sulfate of potash here, a bit of gold there, maybe a bit of zinc, who knows. But listen, I got to talk about the share price. I'm a shareholder. The share price has been a little bit not doing a lot. It's hard to comment on it, but I guess I'd like what you're doing. I can see the value. But what would you say to shareholders that are just a little bit concerned about that at the moment?
I'm a shareholder too. I'm quite frustrated with where it's at, but I understand that this is a new industry and we've got two peers that have been building projects and working through that commissioning phase. So I think there is a sensible wait and see for this proof of concept, but everything is working quite well as far as I can see of these projects. We are building very long life projects there, and it's the dawn of a new industry for Australia, which improves our sustainability on agricultural sector, because we rely on imports of potassium fertilisers for agricultural output. So it's a really great, I think it's a fantastic year in Australia's journey to create this this new industry and improve supply chains for agricultural sector.
Do you think that possibly the market is concerned about the economics around the project, so they're possibly waiting not just the indicator to come out, but possibly for the scoping study? Do you think that there's a possible hesitancy around the project economics?
I think that has been the case for the entire peer group. It has been about proof of concept, like, great, you've got numbers, what does that mean on inferred resource? No, we don't really have anything for like a rule of thumb. If it's a gold project, we have an idea of scale, grade. Yeah, you know, it's an open pit, it's so far below the surface. We can all work out that, yeah, that's probably economic or probably not. But when it comes to sulfate of potash, we don't yet have that level of experience to have that intuitive response to looking at things. So I have witnessed that there is that hesitation around investing until there is those numbers. But you know what we're looking at, when we do look at this as a project, I feel very comfortable that we'll pass the test.
And the team around, you've got a good team around you, and the team are pretty excited as well. So it's not just you looking at this, but I just want to remind our listeners out there why you like this particular, how you came across this particular project and why it's good. Because, you know, I can sense from even chatting to you over Zoom that you're still really pumped about what you've got here. It's almost like I've got the tiger by the tail. The market hasn't even recognised it yet. Mm-hmm. And I guess I sense a little bit of frustration with that. But what was it? How did you find it? And what was it that drew you to this particular project and kept you excited about it?
When I first started Trig many years ago, before I found a project, I wrote the purpose, and that is to build mines communities can be proud of. And that is our purpose today. And in doing that, I was looking, being a metal miner, looking for the right metal projects, thinking around battery metals. But when I came across this and the ability to build a really sustainable operation where we're not interrupting the geological deposition, we're harvesting the water, we're harvesting the minerals that are already in the water, through harvesting solar evaporation, all of those from a mining sustainability perspective really tick all those boxes for me. And then the product itself, being sulfate of potash, is a really clean, highly nutrient food source for plants. The alternative to potassium sulfate, being muriate, contains around about 50% chloride, which is really detrimental. It contributes to salinity, it can sterilise soils over time, and it's just not a really good product where, you know, Australia can be self-sufficient in potassium and sell it to the world through the development of this new industry.
What are we using now? When you say it's a new industry, just remind me, are we using sulfate of potash at all in our agriculture? Are we importing it at the moment? What are we doing at the moment?
We currently import all of our potassium needs, both sulfate of potash and muriate, and reliant on the global market for that.
And is it a 50-50 between sulfate of potash and muriate?
Sulfate potash is a premium product, so it has quite a high price compared to muriate. So where the farmers can, I suppose, feel that they can afford to use muriate, rely on the rainfall to flush the chloride from their soils into waterways, they are more likely to purchase the muriate just because of the price factor and the availability too. So a lot of farmers find it very difficult to get sulfate of potash. And then it's only those crops that absolutely have to have it. They can't tolerate any chloride. So anything on hydroponics, leafy green vegetables, tree nuts like avocados, grapes, coffee beans, cocoa, all the really tasty things that we all like to consume, have to have sulfate of potash for their yield.
In bringing your project and other projects onto the market, will that ultimately change the price to farmers, meaning that the market itself could increase over time away from muriate, which, as you say, is high chlorine or chloride, which is not great. Not great for I guess the land and agriculture. Do you think with a lot more coming into the market, there will be some price adjustments?
It's quite likely in Australia, given that a lot of the sulfate of potash has travelled from a long distance.
Exactly.
So it's going to be more expensive because of that transport cost. So it'd be great to see some of the price come down and encourage more farmers to use it as a product, because that will increase the sustainability of our agriculture, improve the health of our soils, and mean we can produce more food for a longer period of time from our arable land.
And improve the health of everybody that's eating the food, because it goes, a little bit comes into our systems. Karen, I've got to ask this question as well, and that is, why do you think now investors, what's the investment case for Trigg?
Well, given our market cap where it's sitting at the moment versus being able to come out with a scoping study very soon on a substantial discovery of sulfate of potash, I think it's a pretty compelling case.
Lake Throstle's one. Lake Raisin. We haven't talked about Lake Raisin. What's happening with that? Are you putting that on the back? Is all the focus just on Throstle at the moment?
Well, Throstle has the advantage of both grade, and it sits on the Great Central Road, which is a very exciting development across the country. The federal governments, state governments are bitumising the road called the Outback Way to create a third transnational route. And it's considered that currently the world's longest shortcut, but once it's a highway, it will no longer be a shortcut. It'll be a straight route from Western Australia through Northern Territory and into Queensland. And that is right on our doorstep. So that's very exciting development for us.
Is that happening now? What's the time frame for that?
Well, the Outback Way is what it will be called, anticipates the organisation managing it, anticipates the bitumen will be right across the country by 2027, 2028.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already started work on a section heading out of Laverton towards our project, and we anticipate they'll just keep coming. So in the next few years, we'll see bitumen right up to our door.
Which makes it a lot easier once you're into production and what do you do when you've got the product itself? Where does it go?
Well, it will go to market. So from the mine, it's farm ready. So it can go directly to farms, or it can go to export markets, either interstate or internationally. There is a railhead at Leonora about 300 kilometres away from Lake Throstle, and it can go on rail and export through the various export terminals like Esperance or Kwinana.
Have you had some of the people that would like this product, have they been approaching you saying, we're interested in what you're doing?
That has surprised me, actually. It's just the number of phone calls I get. When can I put in my order?
Really?
And they're shareholders too. So they've been supporting us from the beginning, and some new shareholders on all sides of the country in all sorts of cropping arrangements, and really are very keen to see this come into production.
All right. Go ahead.
I just wanted to go back to your question about the growth story. So Throstle is the beginning. That's where we anticipate building the infrastructure and the final processing to produce that farm-ready product. And then we also have recently applied for some tenements just to the south on a project called Lake Yeo, which is about 35 kilometres south of Throssell and on the same paleo channel. So it all has all of the geological indicators of being something of a similar grade to Lake Throssell, and could we'll see what scale that looks like, but it's another lake and another system. And then, as you said, Lake Raisin further to the south, it doesn't have the grade that Throssell does or the infrastructure, but what it does give us is a really long-term horizon around growth potential and ultimately the annual production rate.
All right, we're going to finish it up, and I want to know this, Karen, because we're just about out of time. Three reasons why now is a good time to invest in Trigg mining.
Discovery, the Lake Throssell discovery, you know, the announcement of that, the value adjustment for that coming up, the scoping study coming out, and very much the team that is being attracted to this project. I'm really excited by the people that are joining me on this journey that really want to see this develop. They're all amazing people that really know their stuff, and shareholders are in good hands with this team that's coming together on this project.
So there's a good strike, and I often say this, ladies and gentlemen, you can have the good best asset in the world, but if you don't have the right management. But these are all people that understand this particular commodity and how to bring it to market.
Yeah, and that's the advantage of Trigg, not trying to be out there at the front and doing it first. We're able to absorb the knowledge and experience from the peer group and really watch, learn, and build something that we're all really going to be very proud of at the end of the day.
Well, Karen Patterson, always a pleasure to chat to you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great Australian story. That's what I like about Trigg Mining. It's an Aussie story helping Australian agriculture be a lot more sustainable, allowing farmers to potentially use sulfate of potash instead of the other more not so nice one. And I think at the end of the day, Karen, you're doing a great job. So jump on board, ladies and gentlemen. No promises, but it's a great Australian story. Karen Patterson, thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Thank you very much, Kerry.